And this is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio. This is The Impossible Truth. It's 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It's 1 p.m. in the East Coast and 8 p.m. in the Middle East. Today is a very, very important day in the history of Israel and in the world because tomorrow we have the election in America. And I wish you all the best. Whoever wins, may God be with him and help him save America and save the rest of the world, for that matter. Today I have a very, very important person for me and for the life around that surround him. His name is Rabbi Doron Eisman. He is from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He's the rabbi of the Hasidic of Chabad. His work and effort in the community is exceptional. And his work, you know, cannot be explained. And that's why I invite him, and I'm so happy to have him with us today. Rabbi Doron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Orly, and it's my pleasure to be on your show and to be your guest today. We are going back in partnership close to 30 years, and I want to wish you success in all the good work that you are doing anywhere in the world.
Thank you so much, sir. And, you know, today I wanted you, from all people, to come abroad because in the time of uncertainty, you know, people are not sure where they're going. We have Chabad movement, the Hasidic Chabadnik that helped the world see the light every time that they are in the darkness. And we wanted you to share with us your word of wisdom, as you usually have, about how in this time that of challenging, incredible times, how can we come together and help each other and maybe help ourselves by doing so?
Well, it is a very challenging time, and we truly believe that our generation is going to be the one that will see the world coming to its complete state and being a perfect world as described by the prophets in the Bible. It's going to be a messianic era starting very soon. But there is prophesied as well that before the light there will be a time of darkness. And before the dawn, it is the darkest moment of the light. And we feel that our generation is going to be the last one in exile and the first one to be redeemed. I want to say that I'm part, as you mentioned before, of Chabad Lubavitch, which is headed by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which had a vision and promised us that we are going to be the one that we will see the ushering of the new era of the goodness and kindness, that the whole world will be a place of peace. So the challenges are in place, just knowing that it is our last test and we are ahead of great times should give us strength and direction and know that we have to brace ourselves a little longer to know that we are ahead of good times.
God willing. And I think that, and you know, every time people are talking about, you know, religion or faith, they're a little lost because they're not sure where to start and when to end, because there are some comfort zones that they like to keep, and the world is so vital and vibrant, and everybody wants to keep. But there are, you know, a few lessons that we can can repeat to ourselves and repeat and do our best to become a better person. And it's a global thing. It's not only for the Jewish people. It's for the rest of the world. We're supposed to practice the common on a common denominator base rules of conduct that you guys preach, you guys tell us and teach us, and they are simple to follow because they are basic for humanity. And I know that the rabbi used to talk about the seven rules of Noah, which are common for everybody. And, you know, I don't know if you would like to talk about it, but, you know, in the Jewish tradition, we have so many obligations and so many rules and to apply. Third of them we cannot apply because there is no temple yet. But in a generic mode for everybody, there are basic rules that we can all, you know, practice and maybe bring along together the humanity. And with that, also being graceful and worthy before God.
Yes, Oli. The seven Noah laws are from the Bible, and it is for all of us, and it is for the world to keep, which means like that God commanded Noah to create an orderly world after the flood and after the destruction of most humanity. God gave a few rules that he asked for the world to be able to continue and exist. And the first one is to believe in one God, which means really that we should all know that there is a creator to the world, and he had a purpose for his creation, and he is the one that gives us all the blessings, and to him we should pray at time of need, of health, of livelihood, and it's in his hands to decide. Now, people tend to say that different religions believe in different gods. And our view is that we all worship one God. Muslims, Christians, and Jews, when we believe in a creator, it is the same. It's one God. And that will allow us, first of all, to live together and give each other the respect that we are have our right to coexist. More than that, Judaism believes that each one has his own path to God. There's not only one way. What the Jewish people need to keep is not necessarily to be imposed on others. That's why the Jewish religion is not the religion of missionaries, and we don't keep or try to get other nations to keep what we believe. Each has his own way to God. Seven Noah laws are the common denominator, and the first is to believe in one God, no idol worshiping. I think this is easy. Today's world is in a state that paganism is out of the picture, and all of us believe in one spiritual God that is the omnipower of this creation. Now, the rest are details, which means that we are commanded to create courts of law. We are commanded to create systems that will enforce the law and to live in an orderly way that is not going to allow one to take somebody else's life or property or wife or family. And this is, again, very simple and a common denominator for all religions.
Right.
So this is the message. The message is believe in one God and respecting the property and definitely the life of another human being. Thank you.
And that is awesome. This is a great message that we think that many people who have a wonder and sometimes they lost faith and they have no understanding to how to get back on their feet. They can, embrace those simple rules to start coming back to the world, that need them and to be a part of it and share and be worthy before God. And, you know, Chabad movement is amazing because it comes along in the most difficult places in the world. You guys have offices everywhere in the world. And every time there are crises in some place, and we know, we hear about them in the news, we can hear Chabad coming to play and helping people. For example, in the Ukraine, Chabad took all the refugees that were running around, you know, from the troop, from rebels, and they collected them and they put new camps. They actually collect them and created a camp just to save life. So your work is behind just helping people find God. It's saving their lives. And we commend you so much for this. And your leadership in South Carolina is amazing because I know for a fact you join forces so many times with other leaders from different religion, and you guys come and call together to help the community, and something that I respect a lot. And you have a school, you teach children, you have a temple that people can come, and you all do it with grace, with love, with kindness, something that the world needs and needs so badly. And this is something that nobody else can teach. It's only the Chabad movement that exemplifies this. And we thank you for that. And I know that you're in the middle of a school day. I know that you run a very, very important organization there. And I wonder, you know, now that we are on the eve of election, also it's the eve of the killing of the murder of Prime Minister Rabin in Israel, we all feel that, you know, people despair and they do acts of war in these times. How can we bring back, you know, the heart? How can we connect the heart of the people back to be in the right place? And, you know, there are so many enemy who wants to call the destruction of the state of Israel. And we're all worried. We don't want to fight anymore. And how can we put a stop to it?
Wow. You're asking me the
$1 million question.
In a long time, how can we make the world a better place? Well, this is the purpose of the creation, and that's the purpose of everything that we do. We want to make the world a better place for all of us to live in unity and harmony. I want to say that we...
In the portion of the Torah, you know, there were mentioned Lech Lecha, they were stating, you know, Abraham was going after God commanded him, go to another place and follow whatever I say, and when, you know, and you stop wherever I say. And I'm saying, how can people these days can relate to this message of, you know, obeying and doing the right thing with a hope that in the other side, you know, they'll see them through. It's like we never learn from our ancestors, and Abram was a great patriarch of the world. And he gave us example to follow God's words and, you know, and not to fear. Mm-hmm. And I think that the fear in people's minds and hearts are the obstacle of everything. They fear stuff, so they defend themselves, they react. And that fear of not knowing right now is more intense. And I know that every time you taught us often that in the words of the Bible, every week we can find the wisdom of today, because it's the words of God, you know, live today. So I wonder if there is any message in the Torah Bible, this portion, that can help us through this time.
You are always asking me for something new, and let me tell you what I see as an answer. That that comes to my mind at this point when we are standing in the middle of such important days. People are asking about the Bible, how come there is always a need for a sacrifice? Why did Abraham was tested to sacrifice his son? Why is the temple in Jerusalem a place of sacrifice? And people think that a sacrifice needs to be on something else other than you. But really, the spirit of what the Bible is saying and the spirit of the worship in the temple is about making a sacrifice. And that first, we all are commanded to build our temple in our heart and in our life. And the way to make this world a better place is by making a sacrifice. When a person wants to fill up his place and to rule and to dictate the rules to others to how to live, we are not making any sacrifice because we want to fulfill our ego and desires. In order to make this place, the world, a better place, we need to give up some space to another, some ability to control and decide their own rules to others. And only then we can live in harmony. So the first step is make a sacrifice. Don't get it to be only my way. Allow another to decide what is his own way to God and for life.
That's nice. That's actually nice, because the difference many time in life is when you have to make the right decision, and the right decision is so obvious, and it knows that it takes the effort. It takes, you know, to coming out and helping old person. It will be on your time or in the person time. And, you know, taking care of the parents, it's not so easy, but it's a sacrifice, but it's the right thing to do. And helping children and taking care of them, and you know, and anybody, you know, who knows that, you know, to be sick sometimes, that when he has a visitor, he feels better. It's a sacrifice. You go out of your way and you do the right thing. That's amazing, because I didn't think about it in that way, but surely, definitely, it's the way to be a better person. And when you be a better person, you help the world become better, and the rest of them follow, and it's contagious. People like to be nice to each other, and they reply in kind. And I do that, and I know that you sacrifice so much of your time, your day, and your life to help the world. And I thank you. And I hope that your place and your organization always be shining and well and happy, because you guys are doing so well and you deserve it. And I hope that this day will find you in a better place, and God will bless you all for everything you're doing. So I don't want to take more of your time. If you have more to say to us, you're welcome. But I know you feel like, you know, you're busy, but your message is really, really clear. You know, we have to take the effort and do the change a little about ourselves in order to become a better. That's how we find the golden road. Wonderful.
Thank you, Oli, and we appreciate again the partnership for 30 years. We appreciate, I appreciate your invitation today to come on the program. And we always, I will be always ready to serve again when you call on me. And thank you for all the blessings. And may God bless all of us to see the era of the Messiah coming and all of us experiencing it in a beautiful time of our life, which is going to be soon.
Amen, amen. And thank you so much for coming to the show. Rabbi Doron, you're incredible. You're an example to all your students and all to the people in the world. Thank you so much. God bless you all. And let's go to a break.
Thank you.
I became the ambassador, Israel's ambassador to the United Nations in 1984. And shortly afterwards, I had a visit in my office, which I revisited the other day with a shocking discovery that we don't change the furniture or anything, in fact. Well, we have grown economically. But this office definitely enjoys constancy. There's no question about that. So in this same office, I got a knock on the door, and there is a young gentleman who wants to see you. And he says he knows you. And in he comes, and this is a strapping chassid, you know, with a beard, face. And I said, "Do I know you?" He says, "You don't know me. Bibi, this is Shmaya." Now, so he doesn't say anything to you. Shmaya was a member of Kibbutz of Mapam, Shomer Tzair. And he'd been a very fine soldier of mine in the unit that I served in the army, and I was his commander, and I hadn't seen him for a few years, as you can see. And he said, "Well, you see, I've become a Lubavitcher, and the Rebbe wants to see you." I said, "The Rebbe wants to see me. Okay, let's go see him." And I said, "It's not so simple. We have to go to see him." And this was the eve of Simchat Torah. So he said, "We'll go tonight." I said, "Okay, 7, 8 o'clock? He said, "No, 12 o'clock I'll pick you up. Midnight." All right, he picked me up. We came to that famous address. A replica of a house we have near Ben Gurion Airport. No, that's... and right next to it is a hall. It was about this size, smaller, I think. And I walk in. How many people are there? A thousand people here? First of all, thank you all for coming. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Now, see, the difference between you and Chabad is they perform miracles, because they had about 4,000 people in a place like this. Now, how did they accomplish this miracle? They accomplished it by having hills and valleys of Hasidim, because they packed, it's not clear to me what the structure was, but they had boxes or things. Anyway, full. And in this human sea, you know, I somehow was taken by Shmaya, brought to a stage. The stage was tiny. It was about the size of my outstretched arms. And there's a small Sefer Torah facing the wall. And Shmuel says, wait here. I said, here.
Wait here.
So sit down on the stage. And suddenly a door opens and shuts. You can't see anyone there because the Rebbe was not, he was a man of enormous stature, but not of great height. And you saw the sea parting, like the Red Sea movement. And the Rebbe came up and went to the Sefer Torah. He started to read with his back to the crowd. And Shmuel says to me at that point, he says, now. I said, now what? He said, go to the Rebbe now. I said, Shmuel, he's reading the Torah. He says, go to the Rebbe now. The soldier giving the commander the orders. Life has its reversals. And I thought, well, you know, this is not Rome, but in Lubavitch land, do as... So I came to the Rebbe. And I try to get his attention, but I'm not successful. So I tap him on the shoulder. And he looks like this to the side. And I said, in English, I said, Rebbe, I came to see you. And he said, just to see, not to talk? And then we started talking. He talked in Hebrew. He switched to Hebrew. Perfect Hebrew. With a certain Ashkenazi accent, but perfect Hebrew. And we spoke for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and the Hasidim are getting very restless. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and there is a buzz, a hum that begins to rise. 30 minutes, 35 minutes, I think my physical safety is now in jeopardy. And after 40 minutes, he stopped. He said what he wanted to say. And he turned to the audience, and with his hands, started to get the Hasidim to sing and dance. And then something happened I'll never forget till the end of my life. The Rebbe and his brother-in-law, I think they were both approaching 80 at the time, or maybe in their mid-70s, they took a Sefer Torah, the Torah school, and they went into the center of this hall, surrounded by all the Hasidim, and there was a light that shone from the ceiling and bathed them in a pool of light. And I see these two old bearded Jews dancing in a circle of light with the Torah. And I felt the strength of generations. The power of our traditions, our faith, our people. And now I'll tell you what the Rebbe told me. He said many things, but he said one big thing. He said, you will go into a house of lies. That's how he called a particular institution. He said, remember that in a hall of perfect darkness, totally dark, if you light one small candle, Its light will be seen from afar. Or Yekarot, its precious light will be seen by everyone. He said, your job, he didn't say job, shlichus, your mission is to light a candle for truth and for the Jewish people. And that's what I've tried to do ever since. Eli, you've been doing all your adult life from your youth, and this is what we're all asked to do.
Benny Davis, and I'm so happy you join us. It's an incredible time in history. Tomorrow the U.S. is gonna have an election, and I really wish for everybody, whoever wins, that it may be the messenger of God, may be somebody who will bring light to the house of, as the rabbi said, the house of lies. No, the house of justice. Let's make it whole house of just. And I don't know, Republican, Democrats, whatever they decide, it's going to be a better America tomorrow, God willing. And for the rest of the world, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu been scrutinized in the last few weeks. And I must say something about it, because I don't mind, you know, criticize you know, policymakers sometimes. I do that all the time. Sometimes I have a really a pickable with them, and with no, you know, no reservation, because I love people and I like that people who govern them are correct and they're doing the right thing, and they have the right thing in their heart when they do that. And, you know, to be a good leader, somebody was asking the rabbi, you know, Rabbi from Lubavitch, how to find the mentor. And he answered, you have to find an angel. And he said, God, how can we find an angel? It's not about finding an angel. It's somebody who works, and you can see that his demeanor is worthy, his demeanor is humble, that you can see his transparent kindness inside the house, not behind closed door, and outside. They have to be nice. And, you know, going back to the fact about our people who govern them, in America, you can see a lot of humble people in the House of Congress. See, I saw them, I met them, and they're really, really working hard, very hard, to help, you know, govern America. In Israel, it's a little different, because the competition, the competitive nature of the state creates some kind of a race for I don't know if I like that, but it's a different kind of ruling, and probably because of so many wars, there are so many generals and so many people who were in conduct, you know, they were in war. And the challenges that Israel face has to put them in a defensive mode. So they are different kind of behaviors. And Benjamin Netanyahu actually is keeping a very, very steady mood constantly, and something that we have to reflect about it and understand. Even that he gets a little antsy about the pressure that he has around him, he always reflect and, you know, send the right message out. And I know that there were hoo-ha about who said what about Benjamin Netanyahu, but I would say to you, from somebody who met the man and actually see him governed constantly and understand the reflection about, you know, America. You have a great friend in Benjamin Netanyahu. America does have a great friend, and I'm sure that everybody who met him know that. So I would love a recap, a restart, you know, new election, restart of this kind of tenor that we have now. We have another 2 years with a sitting president, which should be something that actually cuddle with the friendship, not be hostile. And I'm sure that Benjamin Netanyahu will forget and forgive, because he's a politician. He knows that everything can be said and done. But in the end of the work day, they're all friends and they meet to talk and, you know, to dine together. So I hope that whatever passed is passed, and we can start over again. And it's really from the bottom of my heart, you know, Israel does deserve American friendship, because we are loyal friends to America, and America is a true friend to Israel. So I think that this Suhai didn't help anyone. And if you want to restart the peace negotiation, it should make an example out of with conduct. You cannot send messages and then expect people to come, hey, let's do peace. It's like, okay, what we're going to do now? Anyway, we have so much to say and so little time. Let's go to a break. We'll get a good song and we'll be right back. And we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio, and this is The Impossible Truth. The Impossible Truth today want to pay attention to what Sweden has been doing. You know, everybody is familiar with their furniture deal at IKEA, and today I wasn't pleased completely with them, not from the store and not from their behaviors. And, you know, whoever love ABBA's can say we loved Sweden for many years because of that group. And I don't remember anything or any escalation from the northern country that, you know, that made so much things good in their existence. And all of a sudden, they decide to make a play. Now listen to this. We have a very nice country, Sweden. I'm not sure what's the status, what they have, but behind the scene, it seems like she's been cooking something. And they made a declaration. They're going to sustain the declaration of the state of Palestine. And, you know, I love to create freedom in the rest of the world. I like to create a democratic country that, you know, the Palestinians supposed to be by the ruling of United Nations, because in their, you know, in the chapter of United Nations, when they created the two-state solution, so-called, they also decided that it must be democratic. And for some reason, the Swedish people decided, oh, let's recognize the Palestinian state. Okay, now, what do you recognize? Their abuse of what? Of arms that they like so much to fight, or that they are ruled by terrorist organization, or they let other terror organization in? And let's say, what kind of product does when you come to say, let's, can you endorse me? Or can you give me an endorsement? And you look at the person and say, okay, let's see, why, if I endorse him politically talking, I should reflect about what it represents. If he's a good man, I'll endorse him. If it's a good girl, we'll endorse her, you know, or good lady. And Sweden decided to endorse the bad guys. Now, I don't say all Palestinians are bad, and I, for the matter of thinking, Palestinians are not acting as a normal right now, peace-loving, you know, human people. I don't care if you decide to say, oh, against. I'm not against anybody. Any Palestinian who ever met me knows that I love to talk. I love to make peace. I make with them peace the moment I meet them. But by the way, you know, the whole arrogance of them coming and endorsing a killer or an assassin or somebody who attempted murder on Temple Mount last week and send them a letter of condolences to his family because, you know, he got killed in a standoff after shooting a guy 4 times in the chest in the center of the Begin Center, the hub of the Likud party in Jerusalem, and you going and sending him a letter of condolences, or it's a kind of endorsement, and then Swedish come and said, we endorse those kids. Well, too bad, Sweden. We don't endorse you now. Now you supported a group that actually represent, act, and preach for terrorism. Act, they shoot, they kill, they protect themselves behind kids. They hurt their family, they destroy their livelihood, they take the money and go. And Sweden, I'm sorry, I wonder who are you all about? You know, you're beautiful. I know, everybody know you're beautiful. All of a sudden you become very, very suspicious. Suspicious for us because we don't know who we're dealing with. So today when I go to IKEA, I said, oh, heck no, I'm not buying there. I'm sorry. You guys support terrorism. Not happy. Not happy at all. So I'm not calling, of course, to boycott IKEA. However, because the business is Israeli, I wouldn't hurt my friends here. But God, you guys have to think, you know, when you endorse somebody, any politician, when you stand by somebody, make sure they're kosher, you know, so-called kosher in, you know, real means that pass the rule of conduct, the rule of behavior, and the rule of being a human. We like people that are human, that respect humanity and respect life. Every time you don't respect that, then ask for our respect, okay? And let's go to a break. And we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio, and this is Impossible Truth. Today, we in Israel, we said goodbye to Minister Mr. Gideon Saar. Gideon Saar was the interior minister of Israel. He was for some time there was a buzz that he will run for prime minister, but he decided to take a break from politics and he wanted to raise his beautiful new son. And I wanted to wish him all the best and best of luck for him and his lovely, lovely anchor woman TV. You know, TV host, incredible TV host, Geula Evan. And I wished her family some time of peaceful existence and relaxation. And may, you know, he goes from better to better. And if you decide to come back to be a leader in this incredible state, everybody will welcome him back, of course. But I can understand why he needs a break. It's been a turmoil year, and everything is going down in all direction every day of the week. So, you know, one day they want to find a new leader. The next day they decide to change their mind. The third day they just quit, you know. So you can never predict what's going on in Israel. For that matter, you know, you cannot predict anything because God is God and He is one and we are not it. So we need to continue our course and try to be a little light upon this darkness and bring truth. Make sure that we are constantly holding on to each other, making sure that we have the time to hug each other and say, you know, I love you in a peaceful way, and, you know, not distracted with attention, and saying and give them to everybody the power to understand that their love will last forever, and so they can go on their merry way and knowing that they're being loved. And children are the one that actually matter the most, because they're the engine that will make our world go, you know, on when we are old. And we better create, you know, grow up a wonderful, decent human being, so we won't have to be dependent upon the mercy of the reckless. So if you spend time to say hello to a child, to say good morning, or just smile, just to promise them that there is a good world outside, and they're not a disturbance, they're not a nuisance. And if they ask a question, you know, just, you know, look at them, smile, and answer, said, it's a good question. Maybe I have an answer for you. And if you don't, look it up. Try to be somebody and bless them. Bless them in your heart always, because every child needs a blessing, and every mother wants to care for their children so much. And it's so hard to grow a generation in this time. And we all need to be a part of everybody's that surround us, family and friends and cousins. And, you know, in this incredible new age, we can communicate with all our family in one, you know, WhatsApp, and everybody's knowing what's going on. I told all my cousins today, hey, I'm on the show, so if they want to hear, I hope they are listening. I want to say I love you all. You're wonderful. It's without you, life will be boring. And to have many cousins is a blessing. And in the countryside, you know, in South Carolina, it's amazing because you have many, many family members. So it's a part of it. And here in Israel, when I belong finally to my family, it's amazing because they give us the richness, the color that we have. And all the flavor of the whole family, everyone brings something else to the plate. And it's so special. And if you interview other, you know, member of your family, you can realize that they are so completely different from you, and nothing completely similar to you. However, you love them dearly because they remind you of somebody, of your parents, or they are there for you because they just love you because they're family. So I hope that you guys enjoyed this show today. I hope that we gave you a little light to preserve in your heart, to remember that you are incredible human being, and God put you in this world because he knows better. So don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You are amazing, and I know you are all, and you can become better and better every day. Just try to sacrifice, as the rabbi say, something for other. Not God forbid, take, you know, away something really important, or you know what, whatever you choose to. But the more you practice a little giving, a little caring, a little, not for me all the time, it's not for number one, it's what from the big one, the big number one, and this is for God. Once you do it, this is for God, I'm sure you'll feel better. The world around you will be better. And we will keep on creating a better world every day, on, you know, going in and going out. So when you go to sleep at night, you'll sleep like a baby, because the remorse at night won't disturb you, because you have nothing to worry about. You did your best. Sometimes you succeed, sometimes you don't. But whatever it is, it will be always a fulfilling day, because you are a part of a global entity. You're a part of God's creation. God bless you all. I love you. And I hope to have you in good time, in blessed time, in a wonderful, wonderful new age, new day next week. God bless you all. From here at BBS Radio, this is Orly Benny Davis. Salute you all. God bless you. Thank you, Doug.